Bucky's Auto Service Centers. I was driving back from Olympia yesterday, Tom, after speaking at the Washington State Treasury. The employees there had a conference day, and they asked me to come in and chat.
Sounds like a snoozer.
Yeah. It's worse when you go, okay, well, that concludes my prepared remarks. Anybody have any questions? Is there any more coffee?
Will there be cocaine on our pizza today?
It would have been good.
So while driving back, I was working on my Bucky's Auto Service Center jingle. It's not easy. But it's going to be a good one. You wait and see.
Okay.
Jacob missed this yesterday.
When are you debuting it? On
Friday.
Okay,
Friday.
Perfect.
They got 16 locations. Station rhymes with station. Bucky's rhymes with lucky. And there's some of the other words we come up with as well. 16 locations have been around for more than 49 years. Bucky's Auto Service Center jingle on Friday. Never eat a chip in a hurry, all right? Write that down.
I know, you breathe it in.
Why do people put those things out there on that table?
Because they don't want to eat them themselves. They're probably fattening.
Worse than anything they'll see on the street. That's how a new trainee described what it was like. Seattle Police Department is now training police officers how to deal with victims of violence. And this first sound that we're going to play will sort of explain that the police are now finding themselves standing over somebody who is bleeding profusely. They have to wait for the medics to come. And normally they just sort of stand there, secure the area so that there's nobody else going to get hurt. And there's really not a lot they can do for the guy.
Now, is this the simulated sound? This is the pretend crisis?
No, this is the real one.
Okay, this is an actual crisis at a light rail station that we're aware of. There was a murder shooting.
On Saturday, I did this event for Stronger Families, and they had a police officer that at 2 in the morning had come across a victim that had been slashed across the throat by a homeless guy. The cop arrived and applied pressure to the wound, and they said if that cop had not done that, held his hand there against this guy's neck, he would have been dead. And they had a reunion. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
The cop had, and the cop was very emotional, and they said, officer, they explained the whole thing to him, and you remember that evening? And he says, yes. Well, if you turn around right now, you'll see the young boy's life who you saved. Oh, my God, not a dry eye in the house. So that guy knew what to do, obviously. Other police officers are trained as well. They go through a variety of training. They pay for it on their own, and they don't get any more money if they actually go through the medical training that would make them equivalent to kind of an EMT of some sort, right?
Yeah, just to put this in context, so the kind of EMT training, this is this advanced 4-day training program, to become a certified emergency medical technician. Right now, cops didn't have to go through this. Every new person, though, will have to get at least a 2-day training on this. And the reason they say this is crucial is because the fire department can't do its work with its medics until the scene is secured.
Yes.
And that usually takes up to like 15 minutes to do that. And in the meantime, the person could bleed out and die.
Uh-huh.
So they realize, wow, we have to, not only are the fire department first responders, the cops often have to be the first responders, but they don't have the training. Now, thanks to this 4-day training put together by a Seattle cop, a military vet, and an emergency room doctor, the training deliberately recreates the officer's stress, and as a result, we may save more lives in the field of battle.
EMT-trained officer responding to the shooting. This is at light rail. Here's the sound from the actual incident.
Yeah, who shot you? Where did they go?
I don't know. I was on the floor.
How long ago?
It's maybe 4 or 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
My shot is here.
It's there?
Yes.
Why is there blood here?
Because I pulled my pants off.
Okay. You got
sorry,
just that around it?
Yeah.
Try to get his stuff in.
Okay, I'm gonna put a tourniquet up here, okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. You put his pants off so you can get it. Sorry, man.
I mean, there's already a whole one.
Okay. So there they are working on the guy. What's the training sound like? This is the sound of the police training. This is for the rescuing victims. And apparently this is like if you were at a rock show or something. So the music's blaring and you're trying to assess the situation, where the injuries are and what you need to do. So all of that mayhem is going on. Lights are flashing. There's just a bunch of noise and distractions and you're trying to communicate. That's part of the training. If you were...
Here's good.
Yeah. Then again, this is where radio loses out to television.
The idea is it's to stimulate officers' stress response, and what happens when you're stressed? You get tunnel vision. You have auditory exclusion, they say, so you're trying to not hear the stuff that isn't relevant. You have loss of fine motor skills if you're really stressed. And so this is all part of this four-day program. Right now, every new Seattle police officer goes through a day-long training. This year, a two-hour class was taught to the entire department. Uh-huh. And then the ones that are going through these four-day training program, those are voluntary. And what's great about it is, you know, just in terms of how committed they are to it, they don't get any – it's not like getting a master's degree when you're a teacher, so you get paid more. Uh-huh. This is just all to be better police officers, and it's quite inspiring. The other amazing thing is that police heretofore had always had to pay for their own emergency kits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of this fund, Motorola is giving a $25,000 grant to cover the costs of these trainings. They also the police department is going to make available the kind of pressor bandages and tourniquets and combat gauze that's often used in this. Yeah. They will provide them for the cops.
Dave, my buddy Dave the cop, he went through a program, but he did it where he had every Saturday, I think he had like 3 hours of classes. I think it took him like 3 months. He had to take the test. He has the same standard, I think, that an EMT does now.
Yeah, is
so
that
he
right?
might even be able to administer drugs on the scenes. A lot of those guys cannot. You're not allowed to. I don't think he can start an IV or something. Not that he's carrying any with him, but he said it was a helpless feeling. You're watching somebody thinking, God, if I went, you know, if I knew a couple of things, I could probably save this person's life.
Yep.
All right. So there you go. Good for those cops on the streets. And now Joe Biden will find himself under some fire today. Tonight, the debate will take place. Joe was a center stage the last couple of debates, and he takes flack from one side or the other. And now he's going to have to answer some tough questions because the media has been saying to him, hey, do you think it was appropriate that your son Hunter was doing? And he says, you know what? That's not the question you should be asking.
Yeah.
He was redirecting over to Donald Trump. We need to talk about crimes committed there. Quid pro quo. So he will probably most likely be forced to answer some of these.
When it comes to a Democratic debate, to defer to Trump isn't the allowable answer at this point. And so they'll say it'll be interesting to see if he can really, as the New York Times put it, deliver the debate performance that he needs. Everyone's sort of in agreement. He's been kind of rocky in his last three debates that he hasn't really stood out as a strong candidate despite his lead in the polls.
You say Rocky, not like Rocky Balboa.
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
Tonight he'll be like Rocky Balboa,
Rocky 6, where he trained for a bowel movement. He's 70 years old. All right.
Yeah, so anyway, it'll be there'll be 12 people on stage. It'll be interesting to see how many, we've never seen Tom Steyer, you know, in a debate before. He's the billionaire who
bought
is now
himself
spending all of his money now to argue for impeachment. At the time, impeachment wasn't even considered much of an option. Now it's front and center.
Do you believe that the others will take shots at Joe Biden and Hunter Biden? Will Elizabeth Warren say anything to him?
No. First
she
off,
won't.
Nobody. No. Nobody,
no one's going to bring up Hunter.
Nobody in the front running core will do that.
Okay.
Because they figure, like, we've got Joe's already on the ropes. As they say, when your political opponent is getting hammered by other people, you don't need to add a blow or two.
Uh-huh.
It's already going to be the questioners, the interviewers that are going to level the charges. I'd be surprised if people, use that, unless they're on the fringe. The thing about, like, Julian Castro, he took some pot shots because he needs to get more attention.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the people on the fringes might. Maybe Tulsi Gabbard, she's been known to kind of, launch. But I think
I would assume Elizabeth Warren, who talks about a corrupt system, would point to this as an example of a corrupt system. Vice president goes overseas doing the work in the United States, and the son follows in and gets positions on boards.
Yes.
In fact, when the Wall Street Journal has an interesting piece, when they called the group in China that he had worked for a number of years, they said, well, what did Hunter Biden actually do? They said, we'll need to get back to you on that. So 5 years he's there. They still were not quite sure what he was doing. Hunter Biden explained today on ABC.
No, in retrospect, look, I think that it was poor judgment on my part. Is that I think that it was poor judgment because I don't believe now, when I look back on it, I know that there was did nothing wrong at all. However, was it poor judgment to be in the middle of something that is it's a swamp in many ways? Yeah, and so I take full responsibility for that Did I do anything improper? No, not in any way. Not in any way whatsoever. I joined a board. I served honorably. I focused on corporate governance. I didn't have any discussions with my father before or after I joined the board as it related to it, other than that brief exchange that we had.
I read an interesting piece of the venture capitalists that were working with China and the United States. They said you needed to distinguish yourself from the others that were out there to show that you had power and prestige, which was really important in China. Yeah, the company needed to. So if you're going to get married, it would be nice to have one of your bridesmaids have the last name Biden. So they had him sitting there basically to be able to show, hey, listen, if we need to get something done, look how deep our board is. We even have the vice president's son in here.
Right? No, I think that's exactly right. Yeah. And I think what he said made some sense. He shouldn't have done it. As a judgment error, if he's concerned about his father ever becoming a president. But being on the board doesn't mean that he did anything unethical while he was on the board. However, as David Farenthold from the Washington Post told Dave Ross this morning, says, okay, now Hunter Biden needs to go away. He's not your traditional. He's had all sorts of personal problems himself. He's been a drug addict and all of this.
Yeah.
That he just needs to no longer be the story. He's addressed it now. He just needs to go away. And it sounds like he says, I am not going to be making any appearances anymore, you know, like at a fundraiser or at any kind of political rallies. That I think he should take David Farenthold's advice, and I think he probably will.
Mm. Why would he have the job if he was a Biden? Would he have the job if he was a Biden?
No, and he says, no, I wouldn't. I completely understand that.
This is the same thing when Bill Clinton would go over and give a speech for $500,000. Yes. Same thing, right?
Yes.
It's not illegal. It just gives slight stink of
I agree.
Using influence of giving someone a speech, giving somebody $500,000, knowing that they're married to the Secretary of State.
Yeah. However, I do think in Clinton's situation, unlike Hunter Biden's, Clinton was the president of the United States. If Hillary Clinton wasn't in the government, that he still would be a popular person to have on the board.
$500,000.
Because it looks impressive. Right. Say, wow, look at we've got a former president on board.
$500,000 speech. Hunter maintained he had only one conversation with his dad about Ukraine.
Did you and your father ever discuss Ukraine?
No. As I said, the only time was after a news account.
Do you believe that? Never discussed Ukraine, other than a news account.
It wasn't a discussion in any way. There's no but to this. No, we never did.
Your dad said, I hope you know what you're doing.
I hope you know what you're doing.
I do.
And I said, I do. And that was literally the end of our discussion.
Why?
Because my dad was vice president of the United States. There's literally nothing as a young man or as a full-grown adult that my father in some way hasn't had influence over. It does not serve either one of us.
When he said, I hope you know what you're doing, what did he think you were doing?
Well, he read the press reports that I joined the board of Burisma, which was a Ukrainian natural gas company.
Yeah, okay. Okay, fine. Joe's got some other stuff to talk about, too.
He's the second son. He never measured up.
Mm.
And now he's in hot water.
I'd ask Joe Biden, Joe, why do you keep lying about your wife and your kid being killed by a drunk driver? Why do you lie about that?
What is he lying about?
The guy wasn't drunk, and it was actually Joe Biden's wife's fault. And the guy has died, the man that was in the truck. Jeez. And his family's like, stop libeling us. Stop doing this to us. He was not drunk. He was not. Your wife was the one that ran into the truck driver. The truck driver got out of the car and tried to save their two lives. Also took a blood alcohol test. He didn't die. Those two didn't die because of a drunk driver. But Joe tells a story about a drunk driver killing his wife and child. It's like, don't do that. You know what? It's tragic enough. You don't need to add the extra layer to it.
It is plenty tragic enough. I've never actually heard that. So I don't know if I trust your sources, but if that's the case, he shouldn't be lying about it. But it's tragic enough as it is.
Yeah, you don't need to add that.
Yes.
Right?
And I don't know. Does he agree with that? Or is it just the family who's, you know.
Has anybody ever asked him? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. No, the idea is that that's the family who says our family member wasn't
drunk. Police
reports,
not drunk, had no alcohol in his system. Okay. I mean, how horrible would you be the family member knowing that your vice president or the guy running for president goes around and tells a story about your dad being drunk and killing his family?
I don't know what you're running around. I've heard him tell that story a lot of times. I haven't heard the drunk part of it. Not to say that he hasn't ever once said it, but it's the tragedy of him losing his wife. And Hunter and Bo Biden were in the car that killed his infant kid and the wife.
So. People also point to that tragedy as one of the reasons Joe Biden got elected in the first time. He was 28 years old. That had happened. Then he runs for office, and people felt really bad for him. He was making a lot of news, and they said, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons he first got picked up there in Delaware.
Was he already a senator? I don't know if he was a senator, but I think he was already in office. But this sounds like you're reading off some kind of hit job list of Joe.
No, I saw a really interesting article on why do people change the stories in order to now fit the times. Joe's family killed by drunk driver. Elizabeth Warren was fired because she was pregnant. It goes back to people that switch the narratives around in order to fit the different times.
It's funny, so far you've only gone after the two Democratic front runners.
We have enough.
Where are all the Republicans?
I couldn't find any. Isn't that amazing?
I don't know where to look. No, they are.
By the way, Biden is dead even with Elizabeth Warren out of a New York poll. And I think he's
in New York or nationally. What do you mean by a New York poll? Just in the state of New York.
Okay. Yeah, he's got to do well in Ohio or Iowa, and then I think we go to South Carolina is included in there, and then we do the big Super Duper Tuesday with California, and they say he's got to come out strong out of South Carolina.
He's holding his national lead, but in the individual states where it matters first, the first four states, he's behind Elizabeth Warren in three of those four states. Mm-hmm. I just heard some speculation at the top of the hour, I think at the 7 o'clock hour on CBS, saying that he is already kind of preparing people to say, I'm not going to win until South Carolina, but then I'm going to come back strong. Well, if he's already three or four primary states or caucus states down by the time he hits South Carolina, that's a little late in the running.
He's never come out well out of Iowa, right? But here we go as a VP. We'll see what he ends up doing. By the way, I like this Yang guy.
Yeah, you do? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm not a Yang gang guy yet.
You're a burner for Yang. That's what they call the Young Turks. They were for Bernie last time out, and now they're for Yang.
I mean, I need to see all the stuff he's talking about. But I like it sort of, a little bit, a little more hands-off on the government part of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he says he's like Bernie, but he's more... technologically literate, he's more Asian, and he's
he's more Asian
smarter.
Than Bernie.
Really. Yeah, no, I know. I mean, he's being funny.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Be right back. Casino, they know what entertainment is, and it's a pretty good bet that Rachel Bell would bring it if she was not in New Zealand. She is in New Zealand. By the way, is this like approved, or she just said, I'm out of here?
No, I don't know.
Is she
how
doing
much
stories from
she
New
has,
Zealand?
No, she has been clear. This was, I don't know how much I'm able to divulge, but this was worked out.
Okay.
Long ago.
Did you ever take a month off?
No.
You do. I mean, not in one setting, but you do. It is a month.
Well, yeah, it adds up. 4 weeks.
Yeah, but just like right in a row, like that.
Well, no, I've never done that. It sure sounds promising, though, doesn't it?
the folks that drive for Uber are going to be able to have a lot of free time on their hands because California has passed AB Bill, which basically kicks in on January 1st, 2020, saying that you, Uber, have to start taking all your employees. Yes, they're employees. Those drivers, and you're going to have to guarantee them minimum wage, got to guarantee them a certain amount of hours, you got to guarantee them health care and insurance and all the other benefits that come with being an employee.
Yeah, Uber has been fighting this crazy because they insist that they don't have any drivers, that they are a technology company, not a transportation company. They are just the go-between and have been arguing this because they realize that they do not want to be liable for the millions of drivers out there in terms of any lawsuits. If one individual Uber driver or technology, a part-time or
an independent contractor hits a woman
who drives
and she ends up losing her leg.
Yes.
And then she comes after her lawyers are smart. You can't go after the guy driving the white Prius.
Yes.
He doesn't have any money.
Yes.
So who are we going to go after? Let's go after Uber because Uber is the company that the guy was driving for.
And up until now with the California law, they've been able to get away with this kind of definition of who their non-employees are.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they've done is every time one of these cases comes up,
yeah.
rather than letting it be sort of settled law, they do a private negotiation with them
sure.
off the books and yes. everything has to be quiet. Because they do not want to get this kind of a national sort of take that, yes, they are somehow liable, or yes, they are indeed by definition employees or mm-hmm. not. The argument for the fact that they are employees, counter to that, is that they are more involved than many sort of online marketplaces like they claim they are, because they give driving directions, they set rates, they mandate certain kind of cars and all that. So they say there's more interference rather than just being a platform.
Can't there be some interesting nuance, Tom, to define what an employee is? Imagine a guy, you call a company, you call a phone yeah. number, let's go old school. You call up and you say, I need a ride to Pete's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy says, hold on a second. He puts the phone down, goes outside. There's a bunch of guys sitting around. Hey, anybody want to go over to Pete's Pizza? Now, at this point, they have the option to go yes or no. They could take this person to Pete's Pizza or not. And they're just sitting there and like, yeah, sure, I'll take him. And with that, the driver heads off to go pick up the person and take him to Pete's Pizza. Now, the man that put the phone down and yelled out, does anybody here want to go? Is he the employer of those guys?
If he dictates, Charlie, you said you wanted to go. You haven't driven all week. We need you to get out there. Then they could be.
Oh, but that's not the case with Uber. It's all
with
independent.
Uber, but it's not all. They say there are certain minimum standards that they kind of require with people. Like they tell them where to drive. You have to have a certain kind of car type and all this. They do have instructions into how they can operate. So
I'm all right with them telling you yeah. have to have a certain type of car. But
okay,
most
why?
Of them, 95%, drive less than 40 hours a week.
That's right. Right? In fact, they prefer that.
Yes, they do.
They do.
They like to just do it when they want to do it.
No. I'm saying Uber prefers that.
That they drive less than.
Yes. That's one of the arguments, the complaints that drivers have, is there's so many people driving these things that we can never get enough fares to justify our time on the road. It used to be that they used to make a lot more money, and now they make less money because the Uber sets the rates. That's the argument against it. But I understand, yeah, the idea that we're just a platform, we're just the guy saying, hey, anybody want to pick up Larry?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what
the
it
counter-argument.
Is. Yeah. Listen, if this thing goes into place, which it will, I know they got to try to fight it in California. They won't be able to because they've got big money behind it, this California, to make Uber employ these people. You have one
union. They
got big
money with Uber, too.
You have one unions, and two, you have lawyers, because they've made it retroactive. Which means once this thing goes into place, you're going to have lawyers be able to go after cases from 2 years ago and say there's workman's comp that's due, discrimination that's due. That'll be included in there. So lawyers will have a heyday on this.
Why
and the
only
company
2 years,
that is losing
though?
Billions of dollars, Uber, and then $911 million lost by Lyft, this will be the end of these two companies. California will kill them.
Okay. I mean, I think Uber and Lyft are technologically competent enough that they'll find other avenues to pursue, but still,
Tom,
that could
Uber's
be the case.
Losing like $3 billion a month or something.
They have been ever since they
I know, designed. Forbes and had an interesting thing. Does this company hate money?
But more and more people are investing in it, though. I mean, the thing is, it's like Amazon lost money for forever, and now they run the world. That could still happen in this case. But yeah, that could be the...
No, Amazon wasn't losing money. Amazon was reinvesting
money.
The money, and they were
yeah.
spreading out, right? So they were spending money
yes.
to increase infrastructure in order to
which
move packages around.
Which is what Uber's trying to do.
But they lose money on every single trip.
Yes, I know. But that's the way they can undercut everybody else. Then they'll be the only one left standing.
That's
and
what they're hoping for.
They do have a huge reserves.
Today they let 350 people go from different parts of Uber. They have an automated driving part of it. They also let go some people that were involved in the delivery of food and some other aspect. But most of these guys are higher level individuals that are in.
Well, yeah, I think they have 4 million drivers and 27,000 employees.
No, they don't have 4 million drivers.
No, 4 million. What do they call them? Third party contractors.
Yeah, contractors.
Yeah.
People that are voluntarily electing to drive their cars.
And they have 27,000 people who work for the company itself. I don't know what they're called, but they cash a regular paycheck.
Dave with Smart Trucking YouTube channel explains his theories on why women don't become truckers.
Well, why is only 6% of our driving population for trucks women? You think equal pay, opportunity, good money, there'd be more women in it. So I didn't understand that. So I did a quick survey, and basically the lines that I've gotten out of women as to why this was that they were too smart to be in trucking. They knew right away that they'd make better money as a grocery clerk checkout girl at Walmart rather than being into trucking. They knew that tarping was no fun, that being away from home was no good, and that sitting around at a shipper's for no money was bullshit.
Well, that's a survey that Dave, smart trucking guy, did.
Yeah. Hey, Mary, how come you're not a trucker?
And apparently, some women are moving into trucking.
Yeah.
Dave's going to be shocked.
Our audio completely overturns everything that was just promulgated in that clip. However, he is right about one thing.
What's that?
Only 6% of truckers are women.
Yes. But then he did a survey.
Yeah, that's right.
What does that mean? It sounds like he's sitting in his rec room, doesn't it? What survey did he do?
I'm sure he just asked the unfortunate women in his house.
Yeah. Down at a diner talking to the waitress.
Right.
Yeah.
But that 6.6% represents a 68% increase.
Ah.
So it used to be even fewer. Mm-hmm. And now, why is it they're getting into it? And one of the great things about this for women, they say, is that there's no gender distinction.
Yeah.
There are a lot of jobs where you don't really know. How come Jim is making more than Mary when they're in some kind of, you know, whatever business they're in? This, you get paid by the mile or by, you know, the quality of the product and the time frame and all that. That it's not influenced, but, it's not prejudice against women or in favor of men. However, this is kind of curious to me. The median annual age for heavy and tractor-trailer truck drivers is $43,000. That doesn't seem like that much money to do those to do that job, but they talked to one woman who said, "Wow, this is great! I just tripled my salary."
Yeah.
From what she had been doing, so
that's hard work.
I know it's hard. They do say there is a little concern about safety. That's the one thing a woman, because you have to sleep in your truck a lot overnight if you're staying. And so there's one woman who was taught by her dad, who's a trucker, who says what you do is you loop your seatbelt through the front. You know, the handle of the door, so no one can kind of like open it without, you know, it's like an added lock. But that is a concern. But they say, but more and more women are getting into it because they are now recruiting women because it's such a tight job market.
Yeah, they do need more truckers. All right, come back. Talk about the fact that if you walked into a bar and you paid by the hour, not by the drink, what could possibly go wrong? Right back.
Listen to some Paul McCartney.
Is this Paul McCartney?
Oh,
that's what it says here.
Yeah.
Oh, not that Paul McCartney.
What's Paul McCartney doing there?
He's just here. He's just hanging out.
He's just playing this annoying riff over and over
jam
again.
Session.
Should I have a host bar or an open bar? That's always the question that's being asked when everybody has an event, especially a wedding.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what do you mean, a host bar? So that means I'm paying the bill for the liquor. Well, let's say it's $40,000 for that. Or we're going to do a no host where each one of your guests, maybe they get a little meal ticket. Boy, would this be day class A. You get a little ticket, which gives you two free drinks. The rest you have to pay for, right?
Yes.
Okay, so imagine this, going into a bar and you are paying not by the drink, but by the hour.
That's right.
This seems like a bad idea on the surface. Let's go to a reporter first, Tom. Let's go to Justin Andrews
in St. Louis,
who's
I
on
trust.
The scene.
On the south side in the middle of Cherokee Street, there's a new bar, an open bar.
This place is different because you're buying time instead of the drinks.
You heard him, buying time, not drinks. It's called Open Concept. All right, here's how it works. You drop $10 an hour for premium drinks or $20 an hour for top shelf liquor, and then you can just drink away.
Our bar is safer than any regular bar. Because we actually try.
Because we don't have any bartenders.
Somebody has to pour the drink.
Yeah, that's what I think they're doing. I got 26 more seconds. I'll tell you what's happening here. You got one guy back there behind the bar.
Yeah.
You got 100 people. Can I get that? Yeah, I'm going to get to it. So basically what they're going to do is they're going to control the amount of alcohol you get by controlling the distribution of it.
How quickly it gets to your table or your
bar
stool. Each of our customers' drinks through technology. So we're actually a technology company that's also a bar. We have a different POS system than any other bar in the country.
The owner, Michael Butler, says when you come in, you have to sign in, create a profile using your cell phone. Then their system tracks all of your consumption and keeps the bar in compliance with legal limits.
Open Concept is the first of its kind in the St. Louis region and the state of Missouri.
Ooh, that's pretty smart. So he's got some extra stuff going there.
Yeah.
So I assume they sell on the other side. They'll get you maybe on this thing when you fill it out. They ask for your age, possibly. And then they take all of that data and they sell it to alcohol companies.
Well, that's not what they say they do, but
oh,
yeah.
Come on, Tom.
Well, after all, they are a technology company.
Yes, they are. And they're a bar.
It's an Uber concept, not an open concept.
I think they're controlling the distribution part of it. That's the only way to be able to make. Some guy walks in there and just starts pounding booze.
Yeah, you'd certainly drink. You can if you want to drink more than $10 worth of lousy, cheap booze in an hour. I guess my hunch is that after the thrill is gone, most people when you're in high school or college, everybody drinks way too much because look at I can drink all I want
right.
and that's
before
that's
the cops show up
an issue on campus. But after you hit your 20s, it's like you start slowing down because you realize. What's the point? I don't want to get drunk. And the bartenders I trust, because they say they keep track on the app how many drinks you've had, they're still responsible. If you go out, get in your car, and drive down the road and kill somebody, I assume that the bartenders are still held responsible. You cannot serve a drink to somebody who is clearly intoxicated. Then I think there is a way to control this. I did hear this discussed on the Candy Mike and Todd show. And Mike, of course, is a bar owner. And he said, just on the face of this, this is absolutely nuts.
Yes.
This would never work. And he says, and what happens, you always do this last call. Well, everybody's got a different last call then with the hour. Okay, 10 minutes to go. And then Jim, okay, now Larry, now you got 5 minutes to go. It's like he doesn't see how it's going to work. But if they're a technology
Why
company, I'm sure they're
the
smart enough to figure it out.
Why only men at the bar? Jim and Larry, the only guys there?
No, Candy was there too, I think.
Oh, okay.
And Mike and Todd.